B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thursday, noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. The Patriots are home, and they're done for the year. While the rest of the NFL is moving on to the playoffs. First time in a while the Patriots are in this position. And they need a quarterback. So let's take a look at the guys that are playing this coming weekend and in the coming weeks. The quarterbacks that are in the playoffs and where they were drafted. Starting in the AFC. Does this point register with the New England Patriots? That is my question. Take a look at the guys who are in the playoffs, whether you like them or not, whether you think they are a great quarterback, MVP caliber quarterback, or you think they're just mediocre and they're just okay. Here's what they are. They're all starters for a playoff team this year. In the AFC, Patrick Mahomes was drafted 10th overall. Josh Allen, 7th overall. Ben Roethlisberger, 11th. Ryan Tannehill was drafted 8th overall the year he came out. Lamar Jackson was a first-round pick. He was 32nd overall. Baker Mayfield, as we know, was the first overall pick for the Browns. Phillip Rivers, many moons ago, the 4th overall pick. Every AFC quarterback was a first-round pick. 5 of the 7 quarterbacks were top 10 picks. Average draft position of the 7 quarterbacks in the AFC, 10.4. So on average, it's a 10th overall pick. In the NFC, Aaron Rodgers was a first-round pick. Alex Smith was a first-round pick. In fact, he and Jared Goff were both first overall, and they are both in the playoffs. And then there are others like Mitch Trubisky, who we all think stinks, but he was drafted 2nd overall. The guys who are not, Tom Brady, well aware of that one, 199th overall. Russell Wilson was a 3rd-round pick, and Drew Brees was 32nd overall and was a 2nd-round pick, top of the 2nd round. So if you take the anomaly of Tom Brady, the average draft position in the NFC is 22.5. If you include Brady, it drops all the way down to 47.7. But by going through this list, there are 4 first-rounders in the NFC. There are 5 first-rounders. Excuse me, I have that incorrect. They are all first-rounders in the AFC. So the total is 11. 11 first-round quarterbacks of the 14. Does that point hit home with the Patriots? Does that, as I said a moment ago, register with the Patriots? That for the most part, the guys in the playoffs, the guys that even get to the end, again, taking out Tom Brady. Ben Roethlisberger has rings. Peyton Manning had rings. Multiple rings. They're first-time guys. They're first-round guys. Excuse me. That's what I mean to say. First-round picks. First-round quarterbacks tend to take up the majority of the group when you get to this point of the year. Do you think it matters to them? I think it matters to the Patriots where they look at it and say, that's where the quarterbacks are in the draft. That's where the teams that have success are getting them. Whether, and again, that's not to say that because you draft a guy in the first round, he's going to be good. It's just that you need to be drafting that high to have the highest probability of getting someone who is good.
Right. If you want to make it to the playoffs, the chances of you doing it with the guy that you have targeted for and are able to get in the 3rd or 4th round, very, very low odds based on what we've seen right here. That's not how it's being done right now based on the playoff quarterbacks we're seeing. The guys in there right now, they're not 3rd-round draft picks. Oh, he's going to be there and watch. You watch it. Nope. Not right now.
Because if there were ever a team to not buy in on this, It feels like it would be Bill Belichick. It feels like it would be the Patriots, and it feels like we're having a conversation about pushback and about thinking you know better than everybody else in the room, or knowing and thinking that you're better than everybody else in the league, which the Patriots and Bill have been accused of in the past, right? Always quick to sort of let it be known how smart you are. Yes, they are smart. Bill Belichick, very smart, great football mind. Do you think he can bring himself to admit that if I need to get my next quarterback, that the Jimmy Garoppolos of the world, those are far more often a miss than they are a hit?
Well, he's either going to have to come to grips with it, or he's going to have to, if there needs to be any swallowing of pride, to trade for one who's already established somewhere. If you don't want to draft him, then go out and trade for somebody who's already established. Doesn't have to necessarily be a playoff quarterback, but I'd be happy with Matthew Stafford, who's not a playoff quarterback this year. But okay, I think we all agree he can play the position. Find a guy who can play the position by either trade or high draft pick. Anything else is not going to fly with me. I know. I just, based on what we're seeing and what we've seen.
All the guys we talk about, Deshaun Watson, first round pick, Matthew Stafford, first overall pick. I mean, all those guys that you would want to entertain ideas about trades, about being a longer term fix, not a short term thing, not a bridge guy. All of those guys tend to be big names, first round picks when they came out. And there are plenty of busts in there too over the years that are high picks, names that come out and don't pan out and don't become quarterbacks and don't last and don't make the playoffs and never even get close to doing that. But this is where the quarterbacks go. This is where teams have found their guys. They've found them in the first round. So I just saw your lips move, but I didn't hear you say anything. Right. I can't hear
you. Can't hear me.
Oh, there we go.
Hello? Hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, no. I've been trying to talk. Sorry.
I just realized it. I'm like, wait, is Zoe talking? I can't hear him.
I just said, Bill has always hit on positional players, down linemen, you know, defensive linemen, interior, outside guys, safeties, linebackers. I think he loves using that first round pick on those guys. Like, I think it's a comfort thing for him. I think the risk at quarterback is so big if you don't have that one guy and if those guys are gone. See, I think the best ones are going to be gone by the time this team's going to pick there, and he's not going to be picking a quarterback in the first round. And plus, the Brady thing has kind of covered it for, you know, the last two decades. It sort of gets you in like, hey, we contended for the last 14 years, or 14 out of the 19 years, going to AFC title games because Tom Brady was here. And he wasn't a first-round pick.
Right, which sort of emboldens them because they look at the picks that
Bill's thinking, right.
Their picks that have worked out.
In the first round. I don't have to move in the top 10 to get the quarterback I want.
Brady worked out, and Jimmy Garoppolo is a playoff-caliber quarterback. He was playing in the Super Bowl this year.
Right, yep.
Right? And so those are the guys that they have had work out. And so I wonder if that just sort of seeps into the mind. And they think, well, you know, we don't need to draft a guy.
Jesus, that was a year ago,
first round. It was this year. It was this calendar year.
Unbelievable.
To say, well, we don't need to do that. We're different. We're smarter than everybody else. We can get a quarterback in the second or third round. We can get a quarterback later. We don't need to draft a guy. We don't need to be one of those teams that takes all that risk in the first round. And maybe they are. Maybe they can do it again. Right. They can pull the rabbit out of the hat again. Good luck, though, because that's not easy to do. And more often than not, you're going to fail doing it that way.
Yeah, see, and again, you're going up against Buffalo. Go up and down that Buffalo roster, you know, top to bottom. You know, start with the two wide receivers, the tight end, the running backs, the quarterback, all linemen. Go to their defense and line them up one by one. Probably every single damn position you're checking Buffalo off in that. Like, you have so much work to catch up with them. The talent gap there between you and Buffalo is so big right now. And you got to figure out a way to close that quickly. Like, they got a lot of work to do, man. A lot of work to do.
Your thoughts on quarterbacks going in the first round? Do the Patriots believe in that? Do they buy in on that? Will they change their ways on that front? They haven't been in the position that often. I mean, they're now searching for their quarterback for the second offseason in a row, but they've had their guy for pretty much all of the rest of Bill Belichick's existence here as head coach. That, the possibility of Matt Ryan or Julio Jones wearing a Patriots uniform, we'll get to that this hour. Your call's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Pete. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Hub.
That's a phone number for you. You want to jump on board, feel free. You're on Zolak and Bertrand. Tim on Twitter says, counterpoint to all of this is that Bill Belichick went out and got Cam Newton. He was the first overall pick. So he is willing to go out and get first overall picks. I would say sure, but he didn't give up anything to do it. That was not drafting a first round pick or making a significant trade. That was giving a guy $1 million. It didn't take anything. Right. That's a guy who's like at the end of his career trying to salvage it. So I mean, in terms of giving up your draft pick, and that's what I would say they need to do. Give up, use the first round pick on a quarterback. And I get what you're saying, Zoe. Someone who's worthy of the pick needs to be there. Like if there's a big run on quarterbacks early, what are you going to do? You're going to just take a guy at that spot just to take him? Yeah. No, that's not necessarily the best thing. But you could always move down the board later in the first round. You could always give yourself more options at the top of the second, things of that nature. But drafting a quarterback earlier than later.
I mean, look how things worked out, that Darnold Josh Allen one. Remember when that was going back and forth, and here's this big clunk out of what? Montana or Missouri, whatever the hell he's from, against Sam Darnold. And who were they going to take? And the Jets ended up taking Darnold, and then they thought, boy, they took the right guy, and the Bills took the wrong guy. And Josh Allen's like 24 years old. And he's having one hell of a year. So now it seems like Buffalo's found a quarterback for many years to come. It takes a guy a while to get into it, too. So to sort of get embedded and become the guy. And there was no guarantee off the beginning that the Bills picked the right guy. I thought they didn't have the right guy. I thought they had to go look again because I didn't think that this guy was going to be able to correct any of his mistakes. He's just a turnover machine. And Brian Daboll's done a nice job with him, really nice job.
I also think there could be opportunities to move up the board, too. There's always that chance. And in looking at the teams that are ahead of the Patriots, we've gone through this already. I keep going back to the list. And thinking about the possibilities remember how we say, oh, that team could be interested in a quarterback. That team could be interested, right? Yeah. We come up with five or six teams that you think could be. What if it all goes the other way? Where the scenario is this. We know Jacksonville's taking Trevor Lawrence. What if the Jets say we want to stick with Darnold?
That's good.
Are they going to use a first rounder on that particular first rounder on a quarterback?
No.
No. So they're either going to take another really good player or they're going to trade down.
They're going to trade down.
If you're at number three, Miami has Houston's pick. We believe they're staying with Tua. We also would say, are they really going to use their first-round pick 2 years in a row on a quarterback? Probably not.
No, Chris Greer came out and said he's our quarterback for this year.
All right, so there's two teams. You get to Atlanta. If they're sticking with Matt Ryan, are they also going to spend the fourth overall pick, assuming they've got a new head coach in place
who
still has Matt Ryan and still has Julio Jones? We're going to get to those two guys. And still has some talent on the team. You're going to waste that first rounder on another quarterback when you could address another need on your team with a first rounder. You could pick, name whatever position you want. So they decide not to use it on a quarterback. Then you get to Cincinnati. They already got their guy in Burrow. Philadelphia just drafted their guy and they've got Carson Wentz, but he's probably moving on. They have another young quarterback already. They're not going to use it. Detroit. They have Matthew Stafford. They're keeping Matthew Stafford for the foreseeable future. You don't get until you get to Carolina, Denver, where the two more quarterbacks, I think, go. So then you start talking Dallas, no. Giants, possible, but let's just say they stick with Daniel Jones. San Francisco sticks with Jimmy Garoppolo like they're claiming they're going to do. Chargers have their guy. Minnesota has Kirk Cousins. Now they're all the way to New England. Three quarterbacks are off the board. I don't know which one three they are. We can guess and speculate based on what we think are the three best. But is the fourth best quarterback on the board? Is there a fourth best guy, though, that you look at and say that could be their pick at 15? There's only three guys off the board. The ones you probably want are gone.
It's probably, excuse me. It's going to probably be between Trask from Florida and Mac Jones from Alabama. That's just going to be available there. What's funny, Hardy?
T-Bone and I are discussing a couple of different things here, by the way. It has to do with your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, actually. So,
oh yeah, Mike Evans practicing today.
That's good. Yeah.
Yep. That's good. That's a good sign.
Well, you heard Bruce Arians say that it wasn't that serious.
Right. Hyperextended. Yeah.
Let's go with the Jeff Howe answer to this question. Trey Lance is available at 15. Do you take him?
No.
Why not?
I don't know anything about him.
Well, I'm just saying, in generalities,
just to take him.
Good quarterback, a lot of teams have a high grade on him and think he's a first-round talent.
Yeah.
So why not? Why would you not? What would be the reason to not take a quarterback there?
Get a home wrecker instead.
Like, that's sort of my point. Like, just not the home wrecker point. That's those point. If you've got a first-round caliber quarterback that a lot of teams have there, and you might like him too, you got to like him to draft him 15th.
Yeah.
Use the pick and take the quarterback.
Of course.
That's what you do. And I feel like they're going to have to get talked into this.
I don't see how it's anything other than priority one for this season. Anything else you do, anyone else you pick, any other plans you make, it all has to be predicated with the quarterback position being figured out first.
This is going to go all the way to May. This is going to go all the way to freaking May, not knowing who your quarterback is.
Yes, and we're talking about Trey Lance, and we're talking about Mac Jones and Kyle Trask, who you just named. I think those are the top six guys when you're talking about Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence and Ohio State, Justin Fields. So there's six highly talked about, much talked about quarterbacks in this draft. Because after that, you get into the guys that, are later round picks. Ian Book.
What's a national title game?
Stuff.
Monday?
Yeah, it's coming up Monday.
Nice. Oh, my God. We got three games on Saturday, three on Sunday, and then we got the national championship game.
Yeah.
Football, more football.
Do you like football, Zoe? Are you a big fan of that?
You going to watch Bears-Saints, Zoe?
I'm not in... No. Yeah.
All for three.
All for three.
No one on the show wants to watch it.
That's the worst game out of the mix.
Oh for three on that game.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, none of that.
You would.
Of course you would.
What time is it at?
Jim Murray will watch it. He loves bad football. It's like a Thursday night game. That's the Thursday night game of the slate of games this week.
Yes.
Maybe they wear their color rushes.
Laura is up next on Cam Newton. Hi, Laura. Laura, you there? Hello?
Okay. Hey.
Not there. Carl on the Cape. Carl.
Hey, fellas. How are you?
Hey.
So, this whole Deshaun Watson thing, I don't think it's that far-fetched. I mean, so you give up your first-round pick this year.
And next year.
They're probably going to – just let me finish here. You give up your pick. You trade Gilmore. Get a third-round pick for him. Which you're probably going to move him anyway. Throw in another pick, say a two from next year. So a first, a second, and a third. That probably gets it done.
No, it doesn't. Not even close.
He's going to be worth two ones.
Not close. Two ones is the starting point. Then you got to figure out which additional picks you're going to add on.
Right.
Let me give you a...
Jalen Ramsey got traded for two ones.
And he's a corner.
Yeah. Jalen Ramsey got traded for two ones.
A franchise quarterback under contract? No, that's going for a lot more than one, two, and a three.
Right.
Here's the DJ Bean proposal that he just put out on Twitter a short time ago. Here's his make-believe Patriots package for Deshaun Watson. First round pick in 2020, second round pick in 2020. Oh, wait. I think he meant to say 2021, but work with him here. It's a first and a second this year, a first and a second next year, J.C. Jackson, and a throwaway third rounder, a third rounder down the road. Two firsts, two seconds, and J.C. Jackson.
For what?
Deshaun Watson.
Hell no. It's a bit much.
I'd do the deal right now.
2-1 should be enough.
It's a lot. It's a haul. They would get set up ridiculously. I'd do the deal. You know why? Because in theory, you just attach a lot of value to the picks.
Yeah, then you get no corner. If Gilmore and Jackson are gone, who the hell's your corners?
We'll have to figure that out at a later date.
Oh, okay.
We'll have to figure that out at a later date, okay? Because okay. Let me just give you this. Would you trade, let's say this trade went down a couple of years ago. Would you trade N'Keal Harry, Isaiah Wynn, Jo'Wan Williams, Duke Dawson, and a third rounder this year for Deshaun Watson?
I see what you're doing.
Well, those are the first and second round picks in back-to-back years for the Patriots. So that's my question. N'Keal Harry, Isaiah Wynn, Jo'Wan Williams, and
first and
that's not, that's not fair.
I'll even let you upgrade it to three firsts, and I'll include Sony Michel. You can trade Sony Michel, Isaiah Wynn, N'Keal Harry, Jo'Wan Williams, Duke Dawson, and throw in one of the tight ends they drafted this year in the third round. Would you do that deal?
But they're going to be picking higher this year.
But no, but everyone sits there and says, oh, but they'll nail the picks. No, those are good players they're going to get in the first and second round.
Well, they're higher up.
So let me just tell you this. A Patriots team with apparently no scouting department right now and no one running the thing. It's a rudderless ship over there with Caserio in Houston. You wouldn't give the picks up? I just go like this. You take them. You have our picks. They're all yours now. We want the quarterback. A guy that you know is a hit? By the way, put that in a Twitter poll version.
Yeah.
Currently 61-39. 61% of fans say yes, they do the deal. But you're worried about who's going to play corner.
Yeah. Yeah, it's part of it. You got to fill holes.
Joe in Westford. Joe.
Hey. So I wanted to talk about the quarterback situation. I agree with you guys, because if you reach at 15, don't you just end up like your Denver has been for the last few years, taking Paxton Lynch and then giving like Brock Osweiler contract, all that stuff. So I think what they need to do, if the quarterback isn't there, and Beadle, I know you said they can move up the board. They could do that trade of one next year to move up. But if they're 15 and they don't like any of the quarterbacks, the roster is so bad, I'm not going to be mad if they just take the best guy on the board. Because the roster is terrible. They have so many holes. Even if it's a linebacker or a safety, something, just a good player will at least be a starting point for them.
Okay, but let's assume, it's just my scenario, Trey Lance is on the board. Is that a reach at 15? I don't know that it is. Like, he's going to get drafted in the first round probably. So how much of a reach is it? And by the way, the Broncos are not wrong for drafting Paxton Lynch. Like, are they wrong for drafting a quarterback? When are you ever wrong for trying to draft a quarterback? You got to do it.
I don't like that argument anyway about just taking another player. Take the obviously good one. There is no obvious. There is no obvious player that is going to make it in the NFL. Don't reach for the quarterback that you're not sure of. Take the linebacker that you know can play. You don't
know. Take N'Keal Harry.
Yes.
Please.
Yes. You don't know.
No.
Everyone thinks they know on Trevor Lawrence right now. Do you know 100%, Zoe? He's the closest thing to a guy you think you can play. But do you even know on him?
That's why I say if I'm a coach, I'm going to the Chargers or Houston instead of Jacksonville.
Take Malcolm Brown. Take a defensive tackle. You know, someone you can really bank on being a good player.
You don't know. You still don't.
You want me to do this? I can name these picks all day. So.
I know what you're doing.
Malcolm Brown. You can't trade Malcolm Brown. He's so good. He's going to be a lifelong Patriot. Can't do that. Got to have him on the roster. You got needs up front. What are you doing drafting a quarterback? Like, even the Bears with Mitch Trubisky, they're not wrong for drafting Mitch Trubisky. They're wrong if they keep him. They're idiots if they try and keep him. But they're not wrong for taking the swing. You have to. You've got nothing in this league without the quarterback. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll get to Hardy's headlines. And as we continue to talk about this with you, let's talk about the possibility of Julio Jones playing for the Patriots. We've been doing this for years. naming Larry Fitzgerald or Calvin Johnson or just playing fantasy football where you take one of the best receivers and put him on the Pats. Let's do it. We'll do it next.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
To sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Szolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, the general manager and head coach will have to look at, you know, people like Matt or people like Julio and young stars like, you know, Cal Ridley and other players. So they need to look at the whole roster and how is it built for today and how is it built for tomorrow. You know, in many ways, these players are, you know, they're part of family. They're part of my family. We care for them personally, each one of them. We care for their efforts and what they put on the line every Sunday. I mean, oh, they're well compensated. I get that. But they're putting life and limb on the line and playing this game. And we appreciate that. But at some point, you know, for the best interest of the franchise, which is the, you know, the pursuit that we have, the holy grail, if you will, we have, is that we have to make certain transitions, and we'll do it.
Arthur Blank, owner of the Atlanta Falcons, telling the media, yeah, so be it. The new guy who comes in and runs the show, nobody's off limits. I'm not going to tell him anyone is off limits. You want to trade Matt Ryan? Go for it. You want to trade Julio Jones? Well, that's what you got to do. What's it about? It's about being competitive next year. It's about having a long-term plan, and it's going to be up to the next guy running the show. Everybody's available, apparently, if the guy running the show wants him to be available. Would you take Matt Ryan is this team's quarterback next year, though, and for the next few years, if you got Julio Jones as part of the deal?
Jesus. Yeah, obviously.
I ask it that way because I know how you feel about Matt Ryan. You're down.
No, I mean, I'd even be in on Matt Ryan based on what we went through.
Well, you would say he would definitely represent an upgrade over Cam Newton's year, but you got to give him somebody to throw to.
Right.
So what if it were a package deal?
See, that's the thing.
Julio Jones and Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan's got to have the cushy guys to throw to. He's like, everything's got to be right around him. Like, he's not going to come in and carry and elevate other people. He needs other people to elevate him. But I'd be interested in that, sure. Heck yeah.
Matt Ryan.
Why not?
Julio Jones and Josh McDaniels is still this team's offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
They could figure that out, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder what the ask would be. That's one where I have a hard time gauging what the hell you'd have to give up.
It doesn't seem like that. That's like a dream scenario. Like, you're going to get both those guys, like, dealt to you. What are you giving up, 5 ones for that?
That's like installing a new team.
But, right? I mean, a lot of football's been played there. You know, it's not like, you know, these are going to be your guys for the future.
Hello. Alex in Rhode Island. Alex, what do you got for us?
Oh, God. I don't know about you guys, but I don't see the future quarterback of the Patriots in this current draft. So if they're going to go get somebody, it's going to have to be in the free agent route. Mac Jones is a system quarterback. Lawrence looked fairly ordinary against Ohio State. More to the point, the bigger problem is that they do go out and try to get a free agent. Who's he going to throw to? So who's going to come here? So I think we're going to have to wait on quarterback. You're going to end up drafting probably the best available player, depending upon what the talent pool is for this year. So you're looking at a 2-year rebuild to draft a quarterback.
I did not do that. I did not hang up on him.
What does he mean by who's going to come here?
I don't know.
I think he meant if you were trying to put players around a quarterback, who's coming here to do that?
Oh, okay.
So he doesn't like the quarterbacks in the draft, so he wouldn't draft one. What's the other plan? What else you got?
He said,
you have to go trade for one. Okay, how do you do that? And who is it?
Yeah, got to get a veteran free agent.
Now,
yeah.
I know there's possibilities of it, but that may not happen. So if you get to the draft and you've already tried to do that, what, you're just going to wait it out another year? Going to do another year of Cam Newton?
No.
Well, then what is it? So if you don't pull off a trade between now and the draft, and you're at draft day, and you've got the 15th overall pick, you're not taking a quarterback there? You're going to do what you did this year? Maybe Stidham, maybe Hoyer, maybe Cam Newton?
They're going to take a tackle.
Holy crap.
You watch. They're going to take an offensive tackle.
I can't imagine they're going to do that. I cannot imagine it. I can't imagine they get to draft day with no plan at quarterback, and they don't take a quarterback.
I'm with you on that. I think the quarterback has got to sort of resolve itself here early in the process. You can't sit around here till the end of May not having a clue who your quarterback's going to be.
Dave's in Denham on Peyton Pritchard, Celtics All-Star.
Nice.
Hey, Dave.
Gentlemen, first I just want to say you guys are 100% right about the taxes and Denham being a little too high.
I knew it.
Okay.
Yeah, a little high.
All right, we'll get that out of the way. Very good.
And the problem with Pritchard is Felger has this radicalized base of anti-Celtic fundamentalists, and we can't have nice things. Like, we got a nice, true point guard in here. He's doing a good job. Just let the guy be. Let a thousand blossoms bloom.
I don't understand why we can't enjoy it.
No, because it is. It's the Felger youth. The radicalized Celtics haters? Is that what it is?
You're not Felger youth, though.
No. No.
You're the one that's, like, down on the hype.
I don't...
Like, I'm actually legitimately enjoying the hell out of him having these, like, eight-point nights in the world going nuts. Again, yeah, he had a game winner, so he gets credit for that.
Oh, my God. I just got an email.
Yeah.
I can't read it to you in its entirety and do it justice because there are a lot of all caps, a lot of exclamation points. But third sentence in, it's no wonder at all why sports dudes want the hell out of Boston? !
Sports
dudes. Whatever happened to all caps constructive criticism? Like, okay. Viewers don't want to see sportscasters. Odd capitalization with S&C that lean entirely one way, only the negative way. Wake up and smell the coffee, Hardy. Peyton Pritchard is a breath of fresh air.
What fresh air would that be? He's been a good little player for the Celtics.
It's been fine. Is it also okay to maybe spend a little more time talking about, I don't know, Jason Tatum and his 27 points? The night that, do you know how many Tatum had the night Pritchard got 23?
40.
40!
Yeah.
He dropped 40! Peyton Pritchard, right? What about Peyton Pritchard? What about him? Tatum, he had 0 points the night before his big night. He had 23. He had 6 last night. And he was in the right spot to put back what would be the game winner. Relax. I'm not negative. I'm telling you to calm down. I like him too. He's playing well. But I'm bump bump. The end. Breath of fresh air. Stop it. Managed to get into the paint. Fight like hell for that last shot that won the game. Did he fight like hell for that last shot, or did it bounce off the rim into his hands?
Last 4 games, Jason Tatum averaging 30.7 points, 6.7 rebounds, 5.3 assists, and 49.2% shooting. And that includes last night when he was, what, 50%? He went cold at times last night. But as you mentioned earlier, Hardy, when he attacks on the baseline, man, does he look good right now.
I love it.
He's playing at a higher level. He looks like the guy that we saw in February before the shutdown. Right now.
Yes.
He does. Yeah, he's getting back to that.
But in some ways, like Zoe said earlier, too, different. Like, the body makeup is like a little bit different.
Oh, he's definitely gotten bigger.
Bigger, a little stronger, a little more assertive.
Mature.
I like it.
Yeah.
I was telling you, I can't remember who it was. I read a story the other day where it said, maybe he's gotten too big. I was like, too big?
Oh, God, here we go.
I know, and you said the other day, so really, look at LeBron.
Look at LeBron in his early days, how skinny he was, and then look at the thickness over the years. And then he had that paleo diet that he went on. And now he just looks like a freaking wrecking ball of a tight end. You know? You mature. Guy's only 24 years old.
We're going to continue taking your calls, but so I want to give you the odds that were published on who the Patriots quarterback will be to start next year.
Oh.
You can place a wager. Maybe you want to spend some of your money on that.
I might spend some money on that.
All right, tell you about it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Gallagher and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, place a wager on who the Patriots' next quarterback will be?
Sure.
Who do you think the favorite is? Take a guess.
Jared Stidham.
Blew me away.
Jared Stidham and Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's Jared Stidham at minus 240.
All right.
Wow.
He stinks. He couldn't even get on the field ahead of Brian Hoyer.
Well, somebody knows something. Vegas knows.
No, they don't. Stidham minus 240. The next guy on the list is not Cam Newton. Cam Newton is third at plus 750.
I'm so tired of this.
There is a guy between Stidham and Newton. This surprised me.
It's not Brian Hoyer.
No, it's not Brian Hoyer.
Between Stidham and Newton. Give us a hint. It's got to be a veteran.
It's a guy who is... I go easy on calling him a veteran because he's still young.
Oh.
In his early 20s still.
No idea.
I don't know.
Sam Darnold.
Oh, wow.
These from Odd Shark. Stidham minus 240. Darnold plus 700.
See, I'm thinking the Jets are going to stick with him.
I think so, too. Newton at plus 750 along with Carson Wentz and Jimmy Garoppolo. So they are putting the odds the same. For Newton, Wentz, or Garoppolo, just as good a chance of Jimmy G being here as Cam Newton, so. Matthew Stafford is next, plus 1,000. Fitzpatrick at 1,000. And Dak Prescott, plus 2,500.
What?
Would you place money on any of those?
No.
I would. I'd go Jimmy G at plus 750. I still don't know if it's a good,
payout.
I still don't know if it's a good bet. Yeah. Like, but if I had to do it? If I had to pick one on the list, I'd put my money on Jimmy G.
So you put down $100, you can win $750.
Bingo.
Lions have the eighth pick or the seventh pick?
I can tell you right now, they have the seventh pick.
I would take the value play there and go with Matthew Stafford and say the Lions might trade him and then draft a quarterback.
Huh.
Yeah, that could be true. They could probably, I mean, there's a potential for them to get the second best guy at number seven overall.
Yeah, if you're forcing me to lay my money down and bet on one of those, I'll bet Matthew Stafford.
Right, if they could say, hey, we're going to trade Stafford, we're going to get some picks, we're going to use number seven on Zach Wilson, he's still there.
Ooh.
You could see that happening.
It's a good move for the Lions.
Get younger at the position and get picks along the way. Yeah, I could see it happening.
Not going to win anything anyway.
It's not necessary.
Well, we just know that it's easier to build teams when you have a good young quarterback on a rookie deal.
Yeah.
It's easier to do it. It's easier to get better faster.
It's true.
Nick in Plymouth on Deshaun Watson. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. I know you love this Watson thing, and I know that there's no weapons to throw to. But the big thing is what about McDaniels? Like, he's had Cam. He's had Tebow. He seems to be better with people like Brady, Garoppolo, Castle. Is he going to be able to do something with Watson or somebody mobile like that, even if they bring back Brissett?
I think sky's the limit with a guy like Watson. because, you know, now you get a guy who could, he can make all the throws.
Artie.
I mean, he'd go vertical, he'd go to the boundary, to the sides. And I just think that his ability to drive the football in his legs and keep plays alive, it adds another dimension to your offense.
But don't you have to have the dimension of a weapon? Like you even said, there's tons of tight ends, and they have four good wide receivers on the Texans. They
I had to pull mine up again. I closed it out because we had to listen to the phones ring when I had mine open.
It's a little glitchy, but we got to work. I'm sorry there, Tom.
I just want levers.
But they... So, I need something hard and wired.
Shunk.
Just like a big button I could pound every time you hang up, you know? Like something you could be real demonstrative with.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah. Tap your space bar.
Like whack-a-mole. So he's saying that McDaniels wasn't as good with guys that can run, Tebow and Cam Newton being the examples. I don't think that's entirely fair to Josh McDaniels. Look at what he's had to work with. Tebow stinks. And Newton is not Cam Newton anymore. He's something resembling, he doesn't really resemble his old self these days. So I don't think it's fair. But I think Josh McDaniels is very good at what he does.
I would not say anything about Josh McDaniels and his ability to coach based on Cam Newton. And that, look,
and there certainly were, not Tim Tebow.
No, not. Say more about his.
Was there a trick play that didn't work this year at all? I mean, like that, it's worked. Their trick plays worked better this year than any other year.
Yeah, the Tim Tebow thing speaks to other things about Josh McDaniels, at least in
the
that
evaluation of the talent at that position. Yeah, that
bingo,
high,
bingo, correct. Right? But okay, it was his first crack at a head coach, and he's, you know, picking out the groceries to a certain extent. And all right, that was a bad move there. But what are you gonna somehow say that Josh McDaniels isn't as good as you think he is because of what happened with Cam Newton this year?
Right.
No, it's Cam Newton who is not quite up to the task. That's where I've come down and made my decision on this.
McDaniels
season.
Won his first six games with Kyle Orton.
And he blows too.
Exactly.
Hmm. Jake in Boston, back at it again.
Hey, Blake.
How are we doing?
First of all, I'm doing well. So, first of all, I didn't apologize to Stevie Belichick on Monday. As you saw in my email, which I sent you,
I
was literally banging my own drum for calling my shot back in the summer when I said, if Dante Hightower is not gonna do it, why should Steve? And I know, though, you don't like to touch the family stuff. I know you're amused. I know you think I take it too far sometimes. But this is 2021. Sports gambling is the future. It's the future of the industry. These guys aren't role models. They're pawns in a billion-dollar game. Every play is worth hundreds of millions of dollars now. So if you've got info, whether it be off the field or on the field, and you're withholding it from us, it's insider trade. You know, it's dishonest. And then if you got it, and you're betting it against insider trading.
I'm going to defend you on this point. Everything you've shared is publicly available on social media.
Correct.
That's correct.
Okay. So,
right,
I mean,
can I get to Matt Ryan for a second? Because
sure.
I know you're up against the break.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan.
Okay, yeah.
I've known Matt Ryan for a while, like when he was at BC. He was kind of socially awkward, wasn't great with the ladies. I have two mantras when it comes to gambling. Number one, don't bet on quarterbacks with beta dogs. Number two, don't bet on quarterbacks you know you've hooked up with more women than. And that's where I am with Matt Ryan. I've been more successful with I almost had to take it back with the Julio Jones catch, but then Matt Ryan was Matt Ryan and took that sack and the rest is history. So have a great day, boys. Matt Ryan's a loser.
Not shocked he's not great with the ladies.
You know, the other day, I think someone said to you on Twitter, Hardy, that he said Beetle can have one or the other. He can either have the Pauly and Dedham calls or he can have Jake in Boston.
Oh, Jake in Boston.
And I didn't really quite get it. I didn't. But I just want to say for the record that it's Jake in Boston 100 out of 100 times. 100%.
Okay.
Jake in Boston is out there slaying it. T-Bone, maybe you should give Jake in Boston a call. You know, this is supposed to be your year,
but
2021.
Jake just put T-Bone in a very awkward position.
How so?
Well, Jake just said that you can't root for a quarterback if you've slept with more women than that quarterback.
I can't bet.
After this year, T-Bone will not be able to bet on or root for any quarterback in the league.
That's true.
And I mean, I hope that means that T-Bone will no longer be able to be a fan of Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, after this year, the year of T-Bone,
yeah.
There are precious few people on this earth that T-Bone can get behind and say, yes, I would bet on you, sir, because you've slept with more women than I have.
Serious question, T-Bone. When's the last time you were laid?
Yeah. That's a fair... It totally...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.